Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Passions of Real Life Legends. My name is Janet Atwood, and I'm the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and author of The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this series is an opportunity for you to learn what you need to do to discover your passions and live your personal destiny by hearing from people who have been incredibly successful at doing that in their own lives. And we're so grateful that each one of you is here tonight. You have unique gifts which no one else can give. And by joining us on these calls, you join us in learning how each of us can share our gifts, live passionate lives, and make the world a better place in the process. We've come to discover, and we hope you have as well, that when each of us gives our unique gifts and follows our passion and uses our talents, all of us benefit. And as long as any of us is not doing that, the fulfillment we are all able to enjoy is less than it could be. So helping you get aligned with your passions is why we do these calls, and I'm so excited that now you can get a free CD of our interviews with either Dr. John Gray, Dr. Stephen Covey, or Dr. Dennis Waitley. All you have to do is pay shipping and handling and choose which of these incredible interviews you want to have to keep. To get your free CD, go to www.healthywealthy.com, and just click on step number 2, and all the details are right there for you. So again, that's www.healthywealthy.com, and click on step number 2. Now, it's my great pleasure to introduce our guest on tonight's call and my co-host and business partner, Chris Atwood, who will conduct tonight's interview. John Assaraf is a great friend of mine and someone for whom I have the greatest respect. John has built and sold several multi-million dollar businesses and now lives in his dream home on 6 acres in San Diego County in California, surrounded by beautiful citrus trees. John took the Indiana RE/MAX franchise and completely turned it around. When he got done, RE/MAX's Indiana offices were selling more than $4 billion a year in real estate. And not satisfied with that, he took a startup software company from 0 to 1,500 employees and $8 million a month in revenues. He helped take that company public in just 9 months. John attributes his success to the lessons he's learned about how the brain works, and tonight we're going to get him to share some of that knowledge with all of you. I'm also pleased to introduce tonight my business partner and my very best friend, Chris Atwood, to conduct this evening's interview. Chris has managed 10 different companies over the past 30 years, has sold millions of dollars in consulting and training services to companies like Dell Computer, Sprint, Ford Motor Company, Mellon Bank, and many others. And today he is partners with me and our dream team at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise to bring you these passion interviews. Chris, I'll turn it over to you now. Hi, Chris.
Great. Thanks, Janet. Thank you so much. And John, are you with us tonight?
Chris, I'm right here.
All right.
It's
so glad to have you.
Thanks, John. Hi.
Hey, Janet.
I'll love you.
I love you, too.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and let's plunge right in. Would you tell us what is the role that passion has played in your life? And how important has passion been in your success?
Well, Chris, that's a loaded question right off the bat. I think
we love to load our questions,
John. And by the way, hi, listeners. Thanks for joining us. It's my joy to be here. I think if we take a look at what passion really is and why it's so important, it might help make my answer make more sense. If you think about passion as a feeling that you have, and you go one step further and you understand that feeling is nothing more than a conscious awareness of the vibration that your body is in, that would then determine what your energy level is. And we know that everything is energy, so the more passionate you are, the more you'll attract that which you resonate with. And so passion for me has been, very, very important. Because first of all, I don't get behind anything that I'm not passionate about. And second of all, I know that if I apply this natural law of how the universe works, then I'll attract everything that I need in my life in order to meet that passion of mine. So it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Fabulous. And we're going to explore tonight this whole aspect of the laws of the universe and how you've described them. But before we go there, would you tell us how you discovered the things that you're passionate about. You know, a lot of our readers and our listeners say, you know, I know that passion's important, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to figure out what my passions really are. How did you discover the things that you're passionate about?
Well, it wasn't very easy for me. When I was a kid, I got into a lot of trouble. I got out of school when I was in grade 11, so I didn't have a huge education to fall back on. So I didn't say, you know, I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer, I'm going to be a surgeon. And so I really had to really delve inside myself and ask myself, what are my strengths? What do I love to do? And I'll share a little story with you that really helped me. My brother, when I was growing up, he's 10 years older than I am. His name is Mark. He was a tennis pro, and he loved to play tennis. There's nothing he would love more to do than to play tennis. And my parents and all our friends, or my parents' friends, are telling me, no, you know, you're never going to make a lot of money, you know, just following tennis. And he says, you know what? There's two types of income that I need. One is mental or psychic income. The other is monetary income. And if I have a balance of both, I'm really happy. And I heard him say that. And so I determined when I was younger, you know what? I'm never going to not do what I love to do. And so what I recommend to people when we consult them or coach them is, what would make you happy? What would make you happy if you could do it all day long? You remember when you were a kid, Chris, and you got to play something all day long?
Yeah.
Not everybody liked the same things, but when you found the things that you liked to do, I've got two little boys, they could do it from morning until night. So the first key is to ask yourself, what is it that if you wouldn't get paid, you'd do anyway? And one of the things I've realized and I've learned is, in every single business, I don't care what business you give me around the world, somebody is making money doing it. And so when we match up what we love and become excellent at it, and mix it with proper business practices, we can make money doing what we love. I don't care if it's widgets, I don't care if it's babysitting, I don't care if it's being a doctor. You have to understand, what is it that you'd love to do this? If you weren't getting paid, you'd do it anyway. Then the question comes, what needs to happen in order to me to become outstanding at that? And then what business practices do I need to learn to convert my love to making money? And that's really what I've done.
Fabulous. Now, as we delve into this, would you share with us what you discovered your passions really are? What are the things that light your fire, John? What are the things that really turn you on?
I love business. I love enterprise. I like to see the human spirit building companies. And so I've become pretty good at it, and my partners are really outstanding at it as well. And so my love is to take an idea, to take something that's new, to take something maybe other people have tried or have failed at, and to figure out how to make a lot of money doing it. And so that, coupled with really wanting to help people, just drives me every single day.
Well, and you've done that very successfully a number of times. You've built several businesses into multi-million dollar successes. Will you tell us first about the RE/MAX story? How did that happen? How did you turn around the Indiana RE/MAX franchise and make it so successful?
When I was 19, I got into real estate, not knowing what else to do with my life. Feeling down, feeling insecure, feeling like I wasn't very smart. And I got into real estate, and I really got into the personal development field then. I got really well mentored by coaches and by mentors who really knew what they were doing. And so I was able to get some really good counseling and coaching. When I was 26 years old, which is 18 years ago, an opportunity came to my door where I would have to move to a city that I never had been to. I moved from Toronto to Indiana. I didn't know anybody there, and I heard somebody on this call, by the way, from Martinsville. And my job was to take a region, a business that had failed twice, the entire state of Indiana, by two very successful and other businesses, individuals, and I was to turn it around using my passion, using my skill sets. And I didn't know how to balance a checkbook for a business, let alone, do that. And what happened is I listened to my two mentors. My two mentors, Walter and Frank, had built multi-million dollar companies, and they basically laid the groundwork for me of what I needed to do. They laid the groundwork of my attitude. They rated, you know, my performance month in and month out. And what I suggested, you know, to them was, give me the right information in the right order and I'll apply it. And so that is really what I learned about building companies. If you have that sequence and you've got the passion, the skills you can learn, if you're really committed to what you want to do, the skills you can learn. And so that's really what happened is I really busted my butt, and I really became passionate for two reasons. One, I wanted to make a lot of money, and I wanted to really do something with my life. And two, because I'd already become an agent with RE/MAX at the time, and I did very, very well, so I could speak from experience. So my passion level was not even at a passion level, it was at a conviction level. So when I spoke to somebody and they said to me, it won't work here, or this idea won't work there, I just didn't even listen to them, because I knew that there's no way that with what I knew in my heart and with what I knew in having become an agent and going up the ranks and listening to my coaches and my mentors, that I could do it, and it was just a matter of time. And so it started off slowly, where we sold some franchises, we trained the franchise, and it grew and grew and grew and grew. And last year we did $4.5 billion in sales.
Wow, amazing.
And so I don't run that company anymore, but I still own it.
Well, that's a nice position to be in, I would think.
Well, it was my first stepping stone into really understanding, you know, how to build companies and then how to get out of my own way and let them run.
Yeah, great.
My strength is not in running companies, it's in helping build them.
And that's key, isn't it? To really identify what your strengths and be aligned with those and be willing to turn it over to someone else who has other strengths when you are ready to move on to something new.
Yeah, one of my beliefs is that you have to hire people who play at things you have to work at. And I'll repeat
that again, would you?
Hire people. I'm going to interchange the word hire, barter, partner, do something to get people involved with you that play at the things that you have to work at.
Uh-huh.
And I say that because there's a lot of things I'm not very good at. And I'm not very good at because I don't like to do them.
Right.
But there's a few things that I'm really good at, and that's all I want to do. So for me, it's play. It's where my passion is.
And what a powerful principle that is.
Yep, it's served me very well.
Yeah, connect with, to partner with, create relationships with people who their play is your work, and
that's right.
Vice versa, your play is their work. And that I would think that's the real definition of a team, a successful and effective team.
Yeah, most people don't think that they can put a team together because, well, we don't have the money, we don't have the systems in place, they come up with a lot of excuses to match up what their belief is. And the truth is, you can start up anything from your garage. Look at Microsoft.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and Michael Dell and
Apple Computer
and lots.
All of them.
Now, you drew a line between passion and conviction. Would you talk about that for just a minute? What's the difference between passion and conviction? When does passion become conviction?
When you'd give your life up for doing it.
Uh-huh.
When you'd give your life up for doing it. If you think about what's happening in our world today, we have terrorists that would give up their lives for beliefs and convictions they have, because they believe if they don't do what they do, other people will do that to them or to their religion. And it's not that they're bad people, they're just doing things that may not be acceptable in our society, but they have gotten so indoctrinated, they've gotten so brainwashed into believing that it's the truth, they'll give up their life for it. And I've spent a lot of time, as you know, Chris, studying the brain, studying the universe and how they interrelate. And it's been really fascinating for me to understand why we do the things that we do, but more importantly, why do we not do the things we know we should do? And that's a huge distinction, why we don't do the things we know we should do. So I've been really interested in passion and conviction for what
we
do.
Well, the example you gave, it brings up an interesting point, because does that mean that passion and in its more extreme form, as you described, conviction, is something that can be used for negative purposes then? That seems to be the case with terrorists, huh?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody can have total conviction for what they do, but be totally wrong. One of the things I always suggest to people is don't confuse sincerity with truth.
Hmm.
People could be absolutely sincere and not be truthful or not be right.
Sure.
And so, you know.
And so how do you make sure that your passions, your convictions are really aligned with things that are going to make the world a better place in one way?
Well, but if you think about terrorists, and I know this conversation is not going to go there, but they think that by doing what they're doing, it's going to help the world.
Well, it's true. They do think
that's what they believe. And so when you look at why does that happen, and I've been studying the neurological reasons why that happens. Here's what brought this on, Chris. Maybe I'll back up for a moment.
Okay, sure.
I've got about 1,600 salespeople in my one company.
Uh-huh.
And I would bring in great trainers, and they'd get the best information in the world. And they wouldn't apply it. Mm-hmm. And so I go, how is it possible that I just spent $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 to bring you guys the absolute best information, to give you the absolute blueprint, and you don't apply what you learn? And that was for over 90% of our salespeople.
Hmm.
So
wow.
One of the things that I really understood was it's not about information. information gathered in one part of the brain called the conscious part, and application of information, it happens at the non-conscious level of our psyche, which, as you know, controls about 95% of our perceptions and behavior. And so all the work that I've done in my companies is, how do you get people to retrain their brain to a new reality, and how do you get them to retrain themselves so that they actually apply what they learn? I'll bet you there are people on this call, this is not their first call, their second call, or their third call, that have not applied what they've listened in previous calls. They say, wow, that was a great call, I loved it.
Right.
They got emotionally charged up, dopamine was released in the brain, and that again happens, we can tell where it happened, but that's not the part of a brain that's responsible for action. And if you want to know what the secret of success is, it's getting the right information in the right order and applying it. That's what yields the results. That's why we know of people who we don't think are as smart as we are that do better than we are, and we also know people we think are smarter than we are that don't do as well. And so the question is, why? And we know the answers now.
Well, now, John, you've built several businesses. Your last business, you grew from, what, zero to over 1,500 employees within a year, doing over $8 million a month in sales. You took it public in just 9 months. Clearly, you discovered what it takes to move from information to action. How did you do that?
That was a hard working one. I could tell you that. That was a tough. It was 14 months. We grew our company from six people initially, the founding members, to 450. Then we did a merger of equals after we went public. Let me maybe share with you the formula. If we go to quantum science, quantum physics, we have to understand that the universe operates by exact, perfect order and law. There are no accidents. Every single electron is accounted for. We don't have a good without a bad. We don't have an up without a down. We don't have anything in our universe that's not accounted for. So we started with the premise that since everything is perfect, our vision has to be perfect. That way it would align with the way the universe operates. So that's one of the laws of quantum physics. And so we had to have a very, very clear picture about what we wanted. And we chose a 9-month time frame to do an IPO because it was one of my partner's son's birthdays, his 26th birthday, so we chose it 9 months out. So we gave the goal a deadline. And then what we did is we taught the principles of the universe, we taught the principles of neuroscience, brain research, to all of our employees so that they would understand that every single one of us, every single person on this call, is an absolute genius. We have mental abilities that are so unbelievable. We've just been dumbed down by our schools, our parents, our teachers, our siblings, not because they wanted to, because we didn't know. So we didn't know the stuff that we're teaching today. You know, the last 5 years has given us so much great information about how the brain works and how it interacts with the universe that we can actually tell people how to retrain their brain and how to set their goals in motion by creating a goal-achieving plan as opposed to a goal-setting plan.
And so what does that mean?
Well, goal-achieving, goal-setting, let me back up. Goal-setting is an intellectual exercise in what you would like. That's a conscious intellectual exercise using your deductive reasoning ability. Goal-achieving happens at a non-conscious level. Think about this. Most of your day today was basically the same as most of your day yesterday, which was basically the same as most of your day the day before. I do the same things over and over and over again. We are conditioned at a very, very young age to believe certain things. We're conditioned to do certain things based on our values, and then it's on autopilot. So the information that we're gathering is really not relevant. It's fun and it's interesting, but we are almost robotic in our nature, in how we behave day in, day out. And so that's the difference between goal setting. Goal setting, anybody can do on a piece of paper or on their computer, but goal achieving is really getting your body to see and to do everything that's in line with the achievement of the goal. And I'm not talking about using willpower and persistence. I'm talking about retraining the brain so it works automatically and it bypasses all of your terrible habits that you have right now and that I have right now, and it rewires the brain to be able to do different things and to see different things.
What does it take to do that, John? What's required to be able to do that rewiring?
If we go to NASA, if you think about something we call a belief. Some people on the call, including me, have a belief that you can earn a certain amount of money in 1 year. For one person, it might be $20,000. For other people, it might be $50,000. For other people, it might be $5 million.
Okay.
Why is that? It has nothing to do with education. We have people with PhDs that have been told that if they go to school, they'll be able to make lots of money. That's not true. Not true at all. We have people that don't have PhDs that actually don't even have grade school education that make millions.
Right.
And so if we look to brain research, Chris, and we think about, well, what is really a belief? Like, what is a belief and what's the importance of it? A belief is nothing more than a way that we've been wired by either our teachers, our parents, or our siblings about what is possible. And most of what they're going to tell us is possible is based on what their experiences were, what their information was, and their own experiences. And so belief, if we're going to look at it from a brain scientist perspective, is nothing more than a neurode pattern in the brain or a neurode circuit in the brain. The challenge with that is that once we are wired, it takes us a while to get wired. For people who want to change, we have to unwire them or atrophy the neurode pattern, the neurotransmitters in the brain from sending the signals in the brain, and then we have to imprint or implant a brand new belief. So if we know that that's true, and we go to science again for how long does it take us to teach a baby, to teach an adult a new belief, we know that it takes about 27 to 37 days to do that. And using new technology today, we could do it not a lot faster, but a lot more efficient. So there's different ways using, obviously, affirmations is the old way and visualizations another way. But there's actually technology that you can use and creative experiences that you can create to rewire the brain to new reality. NASA did an experiment with some astronauts that they were testing for different motion sickness, for blood pressure, for how their body would react to change. And so what they did is they put these convex glasses on them. And convex glasses, all that they did was it flipped their worlds upside down. You can imagine what that would do to your bodily functions. You'd think you're upside down the entire time. Well, something pretty unique happened. And what happened was, at about the 27th day mark, the first astronaut's world flipped right side up again, even though he was wearing glasses that flipped him the other way. And so the research pointed to it took about 30 days of constant 24/7 work to rewire the entire brain to a new reality. Now, when we're talking about a belief about a habit, if we're talking about a belief about building a business, if we're talking about a belief about a relationship, you can do that in less time if you have this one quality. Would you like to know what that is?
Would really love to know what that is.
Commitment.
Commitment.
Here's what most people are. They're interested, so they do what's convenient, and they're not committed, which means they'll do what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the huge difference. You have to have commitment, a commitment to doing the work. You know, change does happen in an instant, but not for 99.9% of the people.
Right.
But all of us, we have to put in the work. And sometimes when work shows up in some people's lives, they run the other way because they don't want to do it.
Right. And so commitment, what's the difference between a person who's committed and a person who doesn't have that level of commitment?
Success and failure.
That's pretty simple.
I mean, it's really simple.
So
now, by the way, you have to have commitment.
Because when you run into challenges and obstacles, then you keep going, whereas if you're not committed, you may give up?
Well, you have to have commitment, but you also have to know what the right things are to do. So let's say I'm committed to building a business.
Yeah.
I'm committed to making more money. But I don't have the right information and I don't have the right direction. I could be committing myself to death, basically, by doing the wrong things over and over and over again.
So how do you avoid that?
You've got to find people who have already done what you want to do and have them as your coaches or mentors that you either pay for or you don't. The shortcut for me is it's always been to find people who already did what I want to do. I'll share a story with you. There's a gentleman who is walking around in my office right now that is here. He flew in on his own jet. The guy's been worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's coming and doing a deal with us for our new company. This guy's already done some of the stuff we want to do. And so he's here. He's flown in. I was on his yacht about 2 weeks ago. He's got a 115-foot yacht. I was on talking to him. Now he's here talking to us some more. Why do we need him? We don't. We've done very, very well. But some of the stuff that we want to do, he's already done. And so we're learning from him. And so even at the level that we're playing at, my partner Murray and I, who is a very, very successful business entrepreneur, we're still seeking out coaches and mentors for us to deal with. And it just specialized knowledge has so much value that it's well worth its weight in gold. And so that's really a key. And we know we're prepared to do the work. So if we have the right information and we're prepared to do the work, then the formula becomes a lot easier.
So if commitment, would you say commitment is the number one thing to be able to take, as you said, take information and move it to action, or are there other things that are more important?
Commitment's right up there with oxygen for me. I will take somebody who is committed on my team and will do what we ask them to do, and obviously they can offer suggestions and ideas and brainstorm, but if they're prepared to do what they need to do and they're prepared to learn and grow, fall, get up, try it again. Michael Jordan, you'll love this, he said, "I've taken 3,000 shots in my career that have missed and lost the game. I've taken 26 shots on the game-winning championship and lost." He says, "But I don't look at it that way." He says, "I win because I'm prepared to take the final shot again. Every time. And so I'm prepared to fail. I'm prepared to fall. I don't look at failing as failing and losing. I look at failing as just one way that didn't work. And what I do to mitigate that is I find people who've already failed as many times as I possibly can in what I'm trying to do and ask them, is this the right plan, or show me the right plan is even better."
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty logical when you think about it. You know, I used to think my parents never went to anybody for advice. They thought that going to everybody for advice or anybody for advice showed your weakness. And I look at not going to somebody for advice as showing your weakness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Now, you know, one of the things that a lot of our readers and listeners tell us is that, you know, they love the calls. They love this information, quote unquote. And they may even have some good idea of what they're passionate about,
right.
But what is it, but they get stuck by their own fears, their own self-doubt, their
sure.
own sense of, God, who am I to be able to think that I could accomplish that? How does one get past those? I mean, I think we all have these self-doubts and these issues about whether we're worthy or whether
yeah.
we can accomplish it. How do you get past that, John, to actually take action and take successful action?
Well, if we think about that, we're dealing with feelings again. And again, most of our feelings are automatic in nature. They're automatic. They're happening all the time. We have something in our brain called ants, or automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts about ourselves or our abilities are nothing more than, again, neuro circuits in the brain that have been reinforced by either our parents when we were young, our teachers, our siblings, or our own experiences. And the more of those that we had, the more they got reinforced, and the more they're going to play out automatically right now. So if we know that that's not the truth, if we know that we're real geniuses and we have so much potential, there's always going to be two sides to ourselves. There's going to be our spiritual side, Chris, that wants to soar and expand and do so much. Then there's going to be this little voice in our mind that says, but who are you? You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. That's
right.
not reserved for you. That's reserved for somebody else. We have to understand what's causing it. Let's go to the root of what's causing it, and let's go in there. And I call it brain surgery without a scalpel. And go in there and snip out those little voices, and we can show people how to atrophy those voices, and put in brand new circuitry that really lines up with who we are today. Think about this. The feelings that we have today are based on experiences, the things that were told to us 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. But we're still living like that person who had that experience or had been told that. It's not the truth. That's what I love about the work that we do is to show people why it's not the truth and to show people how to rewire their brain. The brain is the most sophisticated piece of equipment on the planet that we are aware of. Yet we were never given the instruction manuals on how it works. Now I can tell you, and I'll say this just to make a point, is we have 6 intellectual conscious functions, 3 non-conscious functions, something called the reticular activation system, something called the amygdala, and something called the reticular activation system. Now most of the people on the call are doing this right now. What did he just say?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I did that for a reason, to share with you that if you don't understand how the most sophisticated piece of equipment that we know of in the galaxy, if you don't know how it works, it's yours, and you don't know how it works. Why are you concerned, or why are you wondering why you're crashing and burning? That would be like a fighter jet pilot getting into an airplane and not knowing how all the buttons work and wondering why they keep crashing. It's that ludicrous to me. And so it's our job to raise our level of awareness and our knowledge base of what is the latest and most recent information that we can apply in our lives right now to eliminate the doubts, the fears, and the anxieties that hold us back from our greatness, that hold us back from our retirement, that hold us back from the homes we really want to live in, that hold us back from taking the trips we really want to take. It has nothing to do with people's abilities. It has everything to do with your understanding of how powerful you are, and then learning, just like you learned a bicycle, learning how you learned how to drive a car, learning how to go through the motions of mastering it. And that's really what it takes. And it goes back to, are you interested or are you committed? If you're interested, you're going to listen to this call and say, wow, that sounds like great information, or I've heard it before. But it doesn't make a difference if you don't apply it.
Right.
Am I passionate enough about this?
Yeah,
I'm standing here in my office in San Diego, and people are walking by. I've got my headset on. They're wondering, what in the world am I doing?
Well, John, does it come down to this, as you described it, rewiring our belief structure?
Absolutely.
Changing and shifting the beliefs that we have about ourselves, about what we can accomplish, about
what's possible.
What's
yeah.
possible.
Absolutely. It really boils down to your beliefs and your values. But your beliefs will override your values. And let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say you value your family. And that's
right.
the most important thing for you. And it's one of my hierarchy of values. But your belief is, in order to take care of them, you've got to work 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. You're going to do what you believe first, value second. That's why people have conflicting lives. They say, but I love you. I care about you. I'm working for you. Can't you see that? And the spouse says, no, I can't. Neither can the kids.
Yeah,
you're never here.
I never see you. So.
Right. So their belief system is different, and their value system is different. And so it's really important to get people's values and beliefs lined up so that perceptions and behavior match up. Then we have harmony. We have less stress. And we feel great about ourselves and our life and our ability. And then we achieve success in balance. And everything that we do, everything our company is about, every one of my companies has been about balance. It hasn't been about, you know, making so much money that you stress yourself out. I've done that before. And we
right.
changed that very, very quickly. So you know what? At what cost? At what cost?
So, John, how did you apply this in Bamboo.com? I mean, you grew this company very quickly. You got great results. You were dealing with a lot of people who had a lot of ingrained beliefs and concepts about themselves, about what they could do, what they could accomplish. How did you apply this knowledge on a practical basis?
The only thing I can share with you, which I'll admit right now, is I didn't live in total balance there. I did it in probably about 80% balance, but not total balance. We really had a goal that was more important than anything else. We were prepared to sacrifice some other stuff, so I'll have to let people know that. Number one, we hired an individual, Scotty, who's a dear friend of mine, that understands what I understand, and my business partner, Len McCurdy, built another company that had 5,500 employees that was doing $500 million a year in revenue, and so he understood quantum physics and neuroscience. And so what we did is we really taught people why it's possible to really do a lot in the day when you believe you can. If you think about this, if you think about what is your highest income-producing activity per hour, and I ask the people on the call right now to write down on a piece of paper how many hours today did you spend doing that versus shuffling paper around versus having conversations you really didn't need to have versus doing the small little tedious stuff that got it out of the way in order to make room for your highest income producing activity or your most productive activity.
And so I want you to run that by one more time because that sounds like a valuable exercise,
oh.
John.
So
the
yes,
first thing is to think about what is your most valuable income-producing activity.
Correct. If you're making money, whether you're employed or working for yourself, what is your one or two highest income-producing activity? Is it getting out in front of a prospect? And we've got people right now in the call going, I don't like the prospect, even though that may be their highest income-producing activity. So the first thing we need to share with entrepreneurs and business owners and solopreneurs is you have to understand, where do you bring to your company the most value? There's only two times in your day that you're making money for your company or not. The activities that make your company money, the activities that cost your company money. And so the first thing is to get people who love what they do that they want to do it all day long. Getting you to understand what you love doing, what you're really good at doing, and getting you to do that 60, 70, 80% of your every day. If people on this call just doubled what their highest income producing activity was every day, they will double, triple, quadruple their income within 6 months.
Wow.
Just that one little tidbit.
That makes sense. Well, and so once we've gotten clear about what is our highest, the one or two things that are the highest income producing activity, then what you're suggesting is then look at a typical day and see how much time you spend actually in those activities. Is that
you
right?
Got it. And I can tell you, when I used to teach business planning to business owners, probably about 10 years ago, I would have them bring their day timer or their calendar with them, and I would have them add up in the last 2 weeks how many hours would they work, let's say on a 40-hour week or a 50-hour week if they wanted, what percentage of their hours did they spend doing their highest income producing activity. Here are the results, and I'm going to remember them. I haven't done this in about 15 years, Chris, but I can tell you approximately. The people in the workshops I did that spent 10 to 15% of their time with their clients, which was one of their highest income activities, made about $35,000 to $50,000 a year. Our people that were in that seminar at the time that spent about 20, 25% of their time with clients made about $75,000 to about $110,000 a year.
So let me just stop you right there. So going from 15%
to about 25%, more than doubled their income.
More than doubled their income.
More than doubled their income.
Okay.
Now what happened when that number jumped to 60-70%,
right?
The income went up by 8 to 10 times.
Holy moly.
It became exponential at that point. So it wasn't like 1 + 1 = 2. It was 1 + 1 = 11.
Wow.
And so ever since that, you know, we would really get people to understand what are their strengths and how do we get you to focus day in and day out on what you really love to do and what you are wanting to do and what you're good at doing. Because when you do what you're really great at doing and you do it well, you can hire everything else out.
Right.
Everything else out, because the rainmakers are the ones who make the money.
Right.
They're the ones who make it rain. That reminds me of a little joke I'll tell you. There's a tribe that has a 100% chance of making it rain, 100% chance every time, 100% success ratio, I'm sorry, not chance, 100% success ratio of making it rain every time. You know what their secret is? They dance till it rains. They dance till it rains. That's just a little funny
That's
one.
Pretty good, John. So this is a really important piece that you've shared with us. The two things that I'm getting. Number one is this issue of being clear about what is the activity that you do, that any of us do, which is our greatest income-producing activity. And then secondly, devoting the majority of our time to that activity and offloading the balance. Now, the other thing that you said is doing what we love. Now,
right.
The question that comes up in my mind, and probably with some of our listeners as well, is, well, what if I'm not a marketing or sales type person? What I love doing is the detail work. I love keeping the accounts. I love, you know, organizing the whole, creating the systems or this or
right.
that.
So let me share with you my story. I hate doing the accounting. I hate doing the detail stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I know I'm very good at creating the vision, very good at helping people see the best of themselves. I'm very good at helping people figure out what they're best at. I'm very good at helping people with strategies and tactics. And so if I consistently just do that, and I bring on either partners, whether it's barter, whether it's seniors, whether it's people that have free time, whether it's college students, I can always figure out how can I versus why I can't. Most people say, here's what I want to do, and here are all the obstacles.
Right.
And I say, here's what I want to do. What are all the solutions?
Yeah.
So I look at how do you find the solution. Figure out how you can, not why you can't.
Yeah.
It's really, really critical to do that. Very, very critical.
How you can, not why you can't.
Yeah. If we go back to quantum physics, if we go back to the way the universe operates, for every negative, there must be a positive. If you go down right to the subatomic level, and that's why I like quantum physics. It can explain a lot of things when we have challenges, especially. If you go to the quantum physics perspective, you can't have a great opportunity without the opportunity also being possibly very risky, or a good event without a potential bad one. You just can't. And so if you're focusing on why you can't, your brain absolutely can't be focusing on how you can. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, are you more interested in being right, or are you more interested in being successful? If you're more interested in being successful, there's a formula for doing that. For every result that every single person on this call wants, for every result, there is the exact way of thinking and the exact way of behaving that will yield that result. It's your job to find out, either on your own or to hire people or to barter with people, on what the result or what the process is for you, for what you want to achieve. I know that's why a lot of people are on this call, and hopefully I can help with some of the answers. But this is not rocket science. It's really not rocket science. That's why there's so many people who, I'm going to go back to what I said before, who are really successful that may not be as smart as you or me.
Sure.
They're just doing the right thing over and over and over again.
Well, now, a couple of things that I picked up from what you said. One, this point is just such a powerful one of focusing on how I can rather than why I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece, I was just thinking about what you're saying. For those of us among this group or among our listeners who our passions or the things we love to do are not the sales, the marketing, the vision, the strategy, but rather the systems, the details, the accounting, and so forth, it still applies. I think what you said, John,
sure,
is that someone like you always needs someone else who loves doing the accounting, the systems, the details, right?
Absolutely. If you take a look at, and remind me to share with you the law of compensation since we're on that topic.
Okay. Good.
If you take a look at any company, okay, any company, there's not one person who could do everything. To think that you can is really putting yourself at a disadvantage because none of us can do everything. That's why we need each other. See, I have certain trends. I have certain propensities. I have certain genetic abilities that nobody on this call has. And every single person on this call has propensities and genetic abilities and loves and desires that I don't have. And so the first thing to understand is that we need each other. That's number one. We are all connected. We can show you that, again, through quantum physics. There's no separation between us. So we're all connected to begin with. And every one of us has different abilities. Our job is to find out what are our abilities, what are the areas that we're not strong at. Let's not confuse being not strong at something with being inadequate or stupid or dumb. Let's abolish that thinking forever. When we find what we're good at, what we're strong at, and we find other people that aren't good at our strengths, then we start to make things start to make sense like a lock and key or a jigsaw puzzle. I can tell you, my business partners are terrible at some of the things that I'm great at and are great at some of the things I'm terrible at. But that's why we love and need each other, because we have found our matches in order to fulfill our vision and our purpose in life and our dreams.
Yeah. You know, Janet and I like to talk about, rather than strengths and weaknesses, we all have things we're supposed to do and things we're not supposed to do.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, we've been taught to look at it. You know, there's a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses.
Right.
We're taught to look at it as weaknesses.
Threats and opportunities.
Yeah, and so we're not, you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't serve you to look at it that way.
No.
If you take a look at what do you need to build a company, you're going to need finance, you're going to need legal, you're going to need sales, you're going to need marketing, you're going to need those things. Those are just things that come naturally to some people and are more difficult for others. So why do you think we need different players on a baseball team, on a choir, on a football team, on a space shuttle?
Right.
Why? Because we don't have all the same strengths, so then we wouldn't be able to accomplish those things.
Makes complete sense. That's what that idea of team, together everyone achieves miracles, right?
Yeah, that's right. I like that.
Now,
I like that acronym.
Tell us about the law of compensation.
The law of compensation is very, very simple. If everybody has a pen and a paper, here's the way to really understand how much money you're going to make. Number one question, is there a need in the marketplace for your product or service? Is there a need in the marketplace for your product or service? And that's a so-so question. That doesn't even rank there at a level of 10. Number two question, how good is your product or service compared to other product or services locally, regionally, nationally, or internationally if you want to play a much bigger game? And that's up to you to choose. And number three, which is the most important of all three, is what is your ability to get sales and marketing done? Now, I didn't say, what is your ability to sell and market? I said, what is your ability to get sales and marketing done or accomplished? Now, if you think about that equation, if you think of Pet Rock, was there a need in the marketplace? No. Was their product or service good or better than anybody else's? No, anybody could have picked up a Pet Rock, stuck it in a box. But their ability to sell and market was phenomenal. They made millions. Same thing with the hula hoop. There wasn't a need in the marketplace. It wasn't a better product. But there were people that were able to see the vision and then to create a plan to execute that vision. And so if there are people on the call saying, but I'm terrible at sales, I'm terrible at marketing, I don't like that, I say, that's okay. Do you have a vision? Do you have something that can serve other people? A product or a service that other people would want or would need? If the answer is yes, then all you have to do is find out the answer to question number three, and that is, how can I either A, learn sales and marketing, and B, if it's not your strength, how can I partner up with people who are excellent at that? How can I partner with people who play at sales and marketing so I never have to think about it? And if you are good in sales and marketing, then the question becomes, compared to whom? Compared to people in your local marketplace, in your international marketplace. Right now with the internet, we've got an international marketplace. You could take a recipe for a cake right now, okay, from your mother in Afghanistan or Israel or Jamaica, and if you know how to market on the internet, you can make $5,000, $10,000, $100,000 a month. And if you're saying, no, you can't, there are people who are doing it. So if they're doing it, they have some specialized knowledge in the right order that they're applying. And so it's your job to find out, what is that? How are people that are making $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 extra a month, or their business making more a month, doing it? What's their formula? And then at least start by copying some of what they're doing. I became a great copycatter of systems that work. Whether it's systems in my life, whether it's systems in my business, I became a great copycatter of at least finding out what is the best out there, and let's at least start with that as a benchmark. Take what I really resonate with and what I love, and then asking my friends and consultants for the rest to create our own formula. And that's how we've built the companies that we've built. We've taken some of the best information, and then we said, okay, great. Let's take this a little bit different. How do we add our own spice, our own twist, our own special sauce, shall we say, to doing that? And that has been my formula and my partner's formula for success time and time again.
Fabulous. And in looking at these three principles of the law of compensation, I can see that depending upon what I being any of our listeners,
right,
any of our readers, what I am good at, what I love, what I excel at, it could be that I've got an idea that is fulfilling an incredible need in the marketplace. And then I just need, but I may not be good at sales and marketing, but so I just need to partner with someone who is.
Exactly right.
Or I may not be good at, I may have the idea, but I may not be really good at producing it or creating a really good quality version of it, so I need to partner with someone who's really good at that.
Right? Bingo.
And if I'm really good at sales and marketing, then I just need to find someone who's really got an incredible idea and or someone who's really good at producing something that there's a great need in the marketplace for.
You got it.
And then I go out and sell and market it.
Bingo.
Cool. Very.
It's not rocket science here.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. And most things, if you take a look at nature, nature doesn't work.
Now, talk about that. That's definitely true. Talk more about that.
Well, the first law of the universe is path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. Nature always takes the path of least resistance. We, on the other hand, humans who fit into nature, for whatever reason, I'm not sure what it is, we try to figure out the hardest way to do it because we think if we're working really hard, then success must be inevitable. And I can tell you, if you understand the laws of quantum science, which is the next level of physics, really understanding what's happening between the world that you can see and the world that you can't see, you'll understand that there's perfect order and harmony. And so we have to understand that when we get into total alignment with how the universe operates, then success starts to follow us and to show up in our lives. And where it was very hard before, things start to happen. Where finding the right clients was hard before, the right clients mysteriously appear. Where money was scarce before, money starts to show up in the weirdest places. And some people are what we call unconsciously incompetent, which is they don't know that they don't know. But then there's a whole other group of people that are unconsciously competent, which means they're not even aware how competent they are because they're applying the laws of science and the laws of nature very, very wonderfully, and success shows up in everything that they do. And every one of us knows people like that.
Fabulous. Now, John, with all that you've been talking about tonight, you've talked about...
We've covered a lot of ground here, Chris.
We have covered a lot of ground. You've talked about commitment. You've talked about the need to shift our beliefs and how our beliefs affect our outcomes. You've talked about teams and the law of compensation. And you've talked, in particular, about the need to convert information into action that creates successful results. I have a feeling that all of this has to do with the company that you have recently launched called One Coach. And will you talk to us a little bit about One Coach, why you have started One Coach, what need you're aiming to serve, and why coaching in particular is important for any of us as we're moving to create success in our lives?
Well, what happened a few years ago after my book hit New York Times bestseller list and Wall Street Journal bestseller list, a lot of people started calling me and said, are you teaching, you know, the stuff in your book, and you're teaching what you did to build companies, and I wasn't. I was retired, and so I started.
John, I want to stop you for 1 second. Forgive me, because we neglected to say that in your introduction. I want to make sure everyone here knows the name of your book. Would you say it again for us?
Sure. The book is called The Street Kid's Guide to Having It All. You heard it right. The Street Kid's Guide to Having It All.
Great. And if people want to get a copy of that book, they can get it at Amazon or anywhere else.
Actually, no, we took the book rights back from our publisher after we hit the New York Times bestseller because they didn't pay us.
Okay.
And so we own the rights, so they can get it either on thestreetkid.com or they can call us.
Okay, good. And where would they call you if they want to call?
They would call us at, our new number is 858-792-1250.
Okay, could you say that one more time?
858-792-1250.
Okay, so you went to the top of the New York Times bestseller and the top of the Wall Street Journal bestseller list.
And number 5 on CEO Read.
Great. And so I interrupted you when you were saying, after that happened, then we...
Well, we started getting so many requests. We started doing a program called Cloning of Success on how, you know, basically the quantum physics side and neuroscience stuff and goal-achieving process works. And then we got a lot of clients who want us to help them build their companies. And my partner, Murray, and I have built, I think, over 20 companies between us, not together, but between us. And so we said, why don't we create a company where we can give people a chance to work with us, to learn what we've learned, and to be coached by us and our coaches, and to build us another worldwide company. And so we named it One Coach. And I've got a gift, by the way, Chris, for yours and Janet's clients tonight, and I'll give you a website for them to go to.
Okay, great.
So they can see what some of One Coach does. And so we just decided to create a company that would disseminate the right information to people and give them the skills that they need, the information that they needed, in an environment that was conducive to growth and application. And so we created the company One Coach.
Fabulous. Now, tell us why coaching is important.
Well, I think coaching is important. By the way, and the motto, you know, for One Coach is really helping business owners build their companies and revenues while living a balanced life.
Okay.
Well, I think the importance of coaching goes back to specialized knowledge, having somebody cheer you on with the right information so that you're doing what you need to do. If you think about when we're kids, we have our parents to coach us. When we go to school, we have our teachers. We go to high school, we go to university, we have our teachers to teach us. We get out into the business world, who's teaching us? Who's coaching us? Who's cheering us on? Who's giving us the right roadmap to follow so that we can achieve the level of success that we want to achieve? For the most part, nobody. And so we decided to be able to be that company where we work on people's revenues and businesses and incomes and money while we teach them all the personal development stuff that's been the lifeblood of my entire life, is really understanding what causes people to do the right things, which I love. And so, you know, there's a funny little story here in our company that John loves to help people and make money, and Murray loves to make money and help people. So together, I think it's really important, you know, that we help people make money, but not at the cost of their stress or their health, not at the cost of getting sick, not at the cost of their connection with God, whatever God is to them, not at the cost of their relationship with their significant others. And the reason that is Murray and I have both had a lot of experiences in not having the right relationships, and Murray actually died, and they revived him with defibrillators, so he knows what working to the death literally means. And so we just said, why not combine business development with a personal twist as opposed to personal development with a business twist? And so we focus on what people want in a lot of cases to really make more revenues in their lives so that they can really do the things they want to do. And that's really what we want to be a part of. That's our, you know, that's our passion. is to teach people what we've done in our own lives. There's a lot of people that are teaching things that they've never done. We've done it over and over and over again. And we've done it in a way where we've kept our sanity, we've kept our relationships, and we've made a lot of money doing it as well.
Fabulous. Well, now, you know, the thing that comes to my mind, John, is you look at any of great athletes,
right,
and even many not-so-great athletes, but anyone who's really serious about achieving success in the athletic realm, everyone has a coach.
Yep.
Every
athletics.
Single person in the realm of athletics has a coach. It's considered absolutely necessary, essential.
Yeah, athletic singers.
What's that?
Athlete singers.
Right.
You go down the line.
Many different fields. And yet, I think for many of us who are entrepreneurs, who are maybe small business owners, the idea of getting a coach is somehow a new or strange experience. Or particularly, I would think, if we're in a salaried position, if we're working for someone else and we're
right.
wanting to move out from that into doing business on our own, I would think that a coach would be almost an essential ingredient.
It saves, you know, our clients. We've been doing this, we've been testing a lot of stuff. We've been doing this for, probably about a year right now, and really going to start launching our international model in about a few months. But our clients say that it's the best cost savings they've ever had, and we've got story after story after story after story. If you can go on to see what we've helped people do. And again, we give them the information, we give them the coaching, we give them the skills, and then cheer them on. And it's just unbelievable when people apply the information and really understand how quantum physics, neuroscience, goal achieving, and the right business skills and strategies work together, hand in hand. So you can't have one without the other. You've got to have it hand in hand, and then magic starts to appear. It's been a wonderfully joyous occasion for us, and a very gratifying one.
Now, you said that you had something that people, a gift for people, and a way that they can learn more about what you're doing.
Yeah, we've been friends for a while, Chris, and Janet as well. And so one of the things that we created for our own clients is the One Coach Weekly Report. That's a $100 gift per month. So we're going to give that to everybody on here. They just need to go. I'll give them a website to go to, and they can get that as a free gift from us every week. And then we're going to pick five of the people that are on this call as scholarship recipients, and they'll receive a $3,000 scholarship into our next foundation workshop, which is our two-day foundation workshop in October. So I can give you that website, and we'll have five lucky winners of the $3,000 scholarship, and then everybody on the call, when you go to this website, we will give you a free $100 monthly gift, which is a weekly report to help you build your business and live a balanced life.
Fabulous.
And all they've got to do
now
is go to onecoach.com/wealthy. We took the wealthy part of your
healthy life. Yeah. So again, onecoach.com/wealthy. And
right.
One Coach is spelled out, right?
onecoach.com/wealthy.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for that, John.
Now, oh, it's our pleasure. You guys do such a great job, and you and Jen are just outstanding at what you do. You're clearly passionate and outstanding in what you do, and that's why you do so well. So we'll help you any way we can.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Now, Ian, of course, we like to return the favor, and at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. So would you share with us what is your current most important project, and what intention would you like us here at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, as well as our readers and listeners, to hold for you?
For us, send us lots of love, number one, and our intention is really to make a difference on the planet. I know that business is one of the ways that people discover their freedom. People discover their freedom of expression and their freedom of giving, whether it's their product or service. And so our goal is really to be the number one business brand or business building brand for small business owners. And maybe I didn't suggest that earlier, but our target is people who are earning less than $1 million a year. We have clients who earn a lot more, but our target, 98% of our clientele earns less than $1 million a year. So we just want the intention from everybody on the call that to help us become the number one brand in giving outstanding customer service, exceeding our clients' expectations all over the world.
Fantastic.
Well, that's our goal.
We also hold the intention, John, that your clients move from earning under $1 million, that with your help they move quickly to earning a lot more than that.
That would be great.
Okay.
I'll hold that intention for all your clients, too.
Great. We appreciate that. We want everyone on our call who chooses to get involved with One Coach to go from where they are to earning well over $1 million a year.
Yeah, and one of the things I'll say, it's not necessary to earn well over a million, but you can do so much good around the world when you make more money. The money is not the be-all and end-all, but it's a form of currency that allows us to do things for ourselves, our families, and mankind. And without money, it's hard to do those things. You could do a lot of wonderful charity stuff, but when you make a lot of money, not only can you do wonderful charity stuff, but you can have other people engaged in doing wonderful charity stuff, so you can leverage yourself, and it's really a wonderful feeling for us to be able to be a part of that.
Thank you, John. What a wonderful vision that you have laid out for us. And John, what single idea would you like to leave our listeners with tonight? If there's one thing that they can take away from this call, what would that be?
You know, it's funny. It just came into my head. Abolish once and for all why you can't achieve all of your life's dream. Abolish once and for all that you're not good enough, not smart enough, not capable enough. Abolish once and for all that success is reserved for other people, not you. And abolish once and for all that you're not a genius, because you are.
Hmm. Thank you so much for that. Wow. You have just shared a wealth of knowledge and inspiration tonight. Some very practical points. Again, you know, this whole point that you made about commitment, the commitment is, of course, the key, and then being able to rewire our belief structures. And, of course, I think that's one of the key things that it helps having a coach and a team. You've talked to us about this idea that doing what we love and what we're good at means that we have the opportunity to team with other people for whom our work is their play, and vice versa.
Right.
And
absolutely.
And you've talked to us about the law of compensation, of being clear about, is there a need in the marketplace, and the quality of our product, how that product is different in the market, and then what is our ability to get sales and marketing done. Not necessarily to do sales and marketing,
right,
but to get it done. And they're powerful principles. Thank you so much, John. And I would like to also, I want to turn it back over to Janet and to mention this call that we have coming up on July 16th with our results coach. And Janet, can I turn it back to you now?
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. And John, my brainwaves have been so happy tonight hearing everything you've had to say and your supreme knowledge. So thank you so much. And thank you, Chris, for just a wonderful job also as well. John, you know, you're just such a true inspiration, and I'm so grateful that you could join us this evening and, again, share your great knowledge with us.
My hope is that, Janet, everybody applies one or two or three ideas. So success takes a little bit of time. It doesn't have to take too long, but just make a commitment to yourself to do one or two things tomorrow, one or two things the next day, and one or two more things the next day, and your life will be in a different location a year from now.
Thank you again, and I'll tell you, abolish once and for all. I think if we, all of us, you know, if we just take that one thought, abolish once and for all why we can't achieve our life's dream, I think that would do it right there. So again, thank you, John.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jen. You're the best.
You're welcome, sweetheart. So for all of you who want to know more about John's work, please join us next Tuesday, July 16th, from 1 to 2 p.m. when our results coach, David Coons, will be talking with John about his coaching programs and how One Coach supports its members in creating breakthrough results. And to join that call, if you are unable to make the call but would like more information about how coaching can help you in your work, send an email to resultscoach@healthywealthy.com. Again, resultscoach@healthywealthy.com.
And just a reminder, that, those of you, if you didn't get it, John made this wonderful offer, this gift that he is giving, a $100 gift, as well as the opportunity to be part of the drawing to receive a $3,000 scholarship of One Coach Services. All you have to do is go to www.onecoach.com/wealthy, onecoach.com/wealthy. Janet.
Great, Chris. So be sure to join us on September 6th when we will be interviewing one of my great mentors and a truly enlightened soul, Byron Katie, author of Loving What Is and her newest book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? And we're also very excited that David Ricklin, founder of selfgrowth.com, will be co-hosting that interview with me. Then on September 20th, we will interview Paul Sheely, chairman and co-founder of Learning Strategies Corporation. Paul's programs have changed the lives of thousands and thousands of people around the world. Many of our listeners tonight have heard from Paul in the past, as he has been the interviewee for a number of our wonderful, wonderful programs. On October 4th, we interview the legendary Jim Rohn, whom Tony Robbins called an extraordinary speaker, and Harvey McKay said is one of the most articulate, powerful, thought-provoking speakers I've ever seen. So be sure to join us for these incredible interviews. Now I'll open up the lines, and we'll say goodnight. So thank you for being with us, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.